If your hope comes from people, if your hope comes from politicians, if your hope comes from money, you will never be at peace. You want to have real peace, you want to have real rest, hope in God. God is our sure hope. I want you to know something about Christmas. There are three things that you can arrive at when you think about Christmas. It has to do with the names revealed in Christmas. What do I mean? There was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. So I want you to remember two names. As of now, Zacharias. Next, Elizabeth. In advance, I want you to remember the name John. Let's read the next verse. Let's read. They were both righteous in the sight of God. This is Zacharias and Elizabeth. They walked blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. I want you to begin thinking, why did God choose Zacharias and Elizabeth? And they were both barren. Christmas is God's promise. But in order to fulfill that promise, there are many things that have to come into play. So let me now tell you what I want to focus on. Three names. What's the first name? Zacharias. What's the second name? Elizabeth. What's the third name? John. Believe it or not, they are so meaningful. Nothing happens by chance. Look at the name of Zacharias. This is the meaning of his name, Zacharias, from the Hebrew word Zachar. Zachar means what? To remember. So the name Zacharias means what? God remembers. This is important to know about Christmas. Number two, Elizabeth, from the root word Seva, Savet. El, God, Elizabeth, means God keeps what? His promises. God remembers, therefore you can trust Him, you can hope in Him. God keeps His promises, that's why our hope is in God, sure, something sure hope. And John, because John comes from the word Johann. God is gracious. So, how do these three come into play? Let's start with number one, God remembers. Do you know Christmas was prophesied hundreds of years ago? As early as Genesis, God promised the seed of the woman, the Messiah will come from the seed of a woman. Genesis chapter 22, the Messiah will come from the seed of Abraham, in your seed. 2 Samuel, God promised the Messiah, the Savior, will come from the seed of David. Isaiah 7:14, Pastor Ricky talk about the seed of what? A virgin. How in the world can that happen? That's what God promise. And then Isaiah 9:6, a child will be born to us, a son will be given, the government will rest on his shoulders, his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. This was promise. But there's an amazing promise that has to be fulfilled. Malachi chapter 3, there will be a messenger. Behold, I'm going to send my messenger. Now, who is the messenger? John the Baptist, which I'll show you later on. This messenger is going to prepare the way of the Messiah. He will clear the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. This verse tells us the fulfillment of the promise in Jesus must take place before the temple is destroyed. Now, when was the temple destroyed? 70 AD, destroyed by the Romans. That means the Messiah has to come from the time of the writings of the book of Malachi all the way before the destruction of the temple. When did Jesus appear? Before the destruction of the temple. Jesus was the one who prophesied, you see this temple? It'll be completely destroyed. So what's the point? Here is something you need to understand. God remembers. You see, put yourself in the shoes of the Jewish people. You are promised a savior. But now Assyrians have conquered you. The Babylonians have deported you. The Greeks took over. You have the Persians. And then you have the Romans. And you have this crazy king, King Herod. You have been waiting. Nothing is happening. Will you lose hope? How many of you have been praying for something and that prayer have not yet been answered? Raise your hand. Have you been discouraged? Well, I want to tell you. These people are discouraged. But can I tell you something also? God remembers. That's why, what's the topic today? The topic today is so simple. Just remember, this is the topic today, okay? Everybody read. God, our sure hope. Why is God our sure hope? Because God remembers. God does not forget. I prayed for my father for 20 years. My father did not know the Lord. My father was so self-sufficient. He was very successful as a businessman. Therefore, he felt he did not need God. He did not need religion. But I know for a fact that God loves him. So I claim the promise. What's the promise I claim? That God loves all of us. That God wants us to become his follower. So I said, Lord, I know you love my father, but he does not know you. So can I claim your promise? Morning and night, I prayed for my father nonstop for 20 long years. Would you believe it? After 20 years, God did something supernatural. God sent Dr. Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, to visit the Philippines, and he's my friend, and I said, can you meet my father? Now, my father will not ordinarily want to meet any pastor, any missionary, no Christian. He was burned by Christian. But Dr. Bill Bright was different. He's a businessman. He's into candy making. He's a millionaire. And he got into oil business also. So when he met my father, he talked about Jesus. Would you believe it? That day, after so many minutes of talking together, my father decided to invite Jesus as his Lord and Savior. I want to encourage you to never give up. Our hope is in God. Amen? So don't give up. Keep praying. What's point number one? God remembers. What's point number two? Elizabeth. What is Elizabeth? God keeps his promises. How did God keep his promise? Do you remember the problem of Elizabeth and Zacharias? Did you read? What did the Bible say? Look, let's read. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. In Tagalog, tuyo na, tuyo. Finish. They were both advanced in years. So, God sent an angel. Let's continue reading, okay? I want you to continue reading. It happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot. Now, you will think this is by accident. Remember I told you, everything in God's economy, in your life, is no accident. Well, this verse talks about he was chosen by lot to enter the temple. You have to know, historically speaking, there were 20,000 priests in the time of Jesus. So not every priest can enter the temple. It's the highest privilege. So you are chosen by lot. The book of Proverbs tells us the function of the lot. Look at Proverbs. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. So, Zacharias was chosen. Is it an accident? Humanly speaking, you think it's an accident. No, no. What has Zacharias and Elizabeth got to do with the birth of Jesus? Let's continue reading. Look at, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. That was Zacharias' job. You burn the incense once in the morning, once in the late afternoon. That was Zacharias' job for 1 week. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. Continue. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias. Your petition has been heard." What was he praying for? Your petition has been heard. What was Zacharias praying for? Would you believe it? Apparently, he's praying still that the wife will do a miracle, that he will have children. For your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. Now, I don't exactly know when the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, your petition has been heard." Maybe he has been praying for so many years, perhaps he has stopped praying, I don't know. But whatever it is, one thing is sure, once upon a time, Zacharias prayed for children. God remembers, and God will what? Fulfill. God commits to fulfill. So what happened? You will bear a son. And you will call his name what? John. Look at what Zacharias said. Everybody read. How will I know for certain? What was his problem? I am old man. I'm an old man. And my wife is advanced in years. In other words, humanly speaking, it is impossible. That's what Zacharias is saying. The angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. I've been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news." In the Bible, you have two angels whose name is mentioned in the Bible. There are thousands, millions of angels, but only two, their names are mentioned. One is Michael in the book of Daniel. The other one is Gabriel, mentioned in the book of Daniel also, and the book of, in the New Testament. Why is this important? Because God wants Zacharias to know, yes, it is impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible because God keeps his promises. What promises of God are you aware of and you are claiming? What's our topic today? God is our sure hope. Why? Number one, he remembers. And number two, God keeps his promises. What is the basis? Look at what the Bible is saying in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. Why can our hope be sure? Answer, number one, God will never lie. And what is the Bible saying? By the promise, the unchangeableness of his purpose. When God says something, it will surely happen. Because God's purposes does not change. Interposed with an oath. Because of God, he does not lie. Because God does not change, he's saying now, by the two unchangeable things, which it is impossible for God to lie. What are the two unchangeable things? God's purpose, God's word, and God's oath, God's promises. And God is saying, this will surely happen. Look at the next verse. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast. Think about it. God is your anchor. That's why the early church uses anchor as a symbol of Christianity. That's what they discovered in the tomb. In the early church, the first 300 years, look at the anchor. This is an anchor. This is an anchor. This is an anchor. The cross came to be a symbol only after 300 AD. But before 300 AD, the most famous emblem is the anchor. Because it is the anchor of our soul connected to Jesus. Now let me ask you a question. If God is our hope, what are you counting on? What are you expecting God to do for your life? Let me give you an example. Let's look at Titus. The Bible tells us what you should hope for. In the hope. Remember, in the Bible, hope is a certainty. In the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long time ago. Can I tell you something? I look forward the day when I will meet Jesus face to face. You know why? I look forward to eternal life. Eternal life begins now. Look at the next verse. Looking for the blessed hope. You see, you know what I'm looking for today? Blessed hope. What's my blessed hope? I'm going to see Jesus. It says, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. The two titles of Jesus mentioned in the book of Titus. What are his two titles? Great God and Savior. Friends, do you look forward to the day when Jesus will come? How many of you are excited for the coming of Jesus? You are excited. Some of us are not. You know why? Because we say, I'm not yet ready. I need to do this. I need to change. I need to ask for forgiveness. I need to forgive somebody. My friend, make it today. You make sure everything is okay with you, with God. Amen? Look at this amazing hope of the Apostle Paul. You know what he said? In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. You know, Paul is looking forward to the day when he will meet Jesus, and Jesus will give him the reward. How many of you are looking forward to the day when God will say, welcome home, my child? That's why I'm saying Christmas is life-changing. If Christmas is true, then Jesus is he who claims to be the Son of God. If Christmas is true, God remembers his promise. God keeps his promises. And God gives you grace. Look at what you and I should look for while you're still alive now. Jeremiah. Let's read this together. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity, a future, and a hope. Friends, the truth is, many times, you may not be happy with your circumstances today. Jeremiah was not happy. He was a prisoner. Jeremiah was exiled to Babylon. Israel was conquered. Humanly speaking, no hope, no future. But God told Jeremiah, Jeremiah, I want you to remember something. I have plans for welfare, not for calamity. Jeremiah, and God is telling you today, all of you, God is saying, whatever is your problem, God is saying, I have good news for you. What's the good news? Plans for a future and a hope. I want you to know your hope is secure. That's what Jeremiah did. Jeremiah, when he was so depressed, he said, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. What did he recall in his mind? The Lord, everybody read, the Lord's loving kindnesses never cease. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, says my soul. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope. For Jeremiah, his hope is God himself. If you have hope in God, the Bible says, you will not despair. We know God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now, this is a promise. Now, whatever happens to you, good or bad, God is going to do something. God causes all things to work together for good. God's purpose is for you, your character, to become like His Son. That's what the Bible says. The ultimate purpose of God is transformation of character. This promise is conditional. Romans 8:28. What is the condition of this promise? God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. If you believe God is real, if you believe there's eternal life, and you believe that Jesus came and died on the cross for you, then the most important thing in your life is really to live for Jesus. Amen? If Jesus is true, and I'm telling you it is true, Christmas is true. Christmas is not a legend. 2,000 years ago, God sent forth His Son. Amazing promise. The grace of God. What do I mean, the grace of God? You know, if you look at the three names, why you can have sure hope, based on Luke chapter 1, what can you remember? Zacharias means what? God remembers. Yes? Elizabeth means what? God keeps His promises. And John means what? God is gracious. I want you to see how God is so gracious to Zacharias, to Elizabeth. Let's look at the following verses, all right? Luke chapter 1, 14, 16, to show you the grace of God. Notice, John was not yet born, but the angel told Zacharias and Elizabeth. Let's read. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink no wine or liquor. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. He will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. I want you to notice something. He was not yet born, but God says, even in the stomach, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Think about it. That's why I don't believe in abortion. While in the stomach, John was already filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, the grace of God comes when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, why do you and I need grace? Look at the next verse. You and I need grace? Let's read. Next. He will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Here was John the Baptist not yet born, but God is already declaring what he will become. He will be a forerunner. A forerunner means advance party before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous as to make ready a people prepared for God. Only God's grace can make the impossible possible, even though it has not yet happened. What do I mean? You see, look at Zacharias. He said, how can this be? Look at Luke 1:18. Zacharias was not perfect. He doubted. He questioned. How will this be for certain? You see? He doubted. Was God gracious? In spite of his doubt, God says, don't worry. You know, God rebuked him. Do you know how God rebuked him? Look at the next verse. God said, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe in my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. Have you been rebuked by the Lord? Have you been disciplined by the Lord? Yes or no? Discipline is not bad. It is a form of grace. God told Zacharias, you did not believe me? All right, you become mute. Zacharias was not able to speak. For how long? From the time the prophecy was given, imagine for almost 9 months, more than 9 months, he could not speak. Was that frustrating or no? Zacharias learned a lesson. What God says will come true. Most of us do not understand the grace of God. We always think of the grace of God as salvation only. Yes, we are saved by grace, not because you deserve it. That is unmerited favor. But grace also involves how you live the Christian life. Can I give you the biblical understanding of grace? Grace is the desire that God gives you and the power that God gives you to do His will. Let me repeat. Grace is the desire that God plants in our lives and the power He gives us to do His will. What's my proof? Titus chapter 1. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation. All right, grace. We are saved by grace, not good works. But don't stop there. Grace involves our living, our sanctification. Notice what it says. Instructing us to deny ungodliness, worldly desires, live sensibly, righteously, and godly. Notice what grace of God will do. The grace of God will give you a new desire. A desire to deny ungodliness. A desire to get away from worldly desires. He changes us. And then He gives you the power to live sensibly, righteously, and godly. And that power is the grace of God in your life. How will that impact your life? Looking for the blessed hope and the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. The grace of God will not only save you from sin, it will save you from the presence and power of sin. You will still be tempted, but there is going to be power. That is why I submit to you, without the grace of God, without the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to live the Christian life. But if you have the Holy Spirit, I have good news for you. Your life will change. Now, do you want to see how John's life was impacted by the grace of God? Do you know that the father and the mother have a part? Yes, it's the grace of God, but you got a part. The parents, you need to teach your children. You need to cast vision. What was the vision God gave to Zacharias about his son? Would you believe it? Let's look at the Bible. The Bible tells us, this is what Zacharias told his son. You, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. You will go on before the Lord to prepare His way, to give His people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In other words, Zacharias taught his son, John the Baptist, you will be the prophet of the Most High God, and you will prepare the way of the Lord. You will tell people the salvation of God. My son, John, be careful. You are a chosen instrument of God. Parents, do you cast vision to your children? Every one of us can be transformed. Yes or no? My hope is not in your ability. My hope is in God's ability to transform people. But I got to do my part. I teach my children. I teach you. Look at John. John pointed people to Jesus. Would you like to know that? They asked him, Who are you? Sino ka ba? You know how John answered? He confessed and said, I am not the Christ. I am not the Messiah. Then they asked him, are you Elijah? I am not Elijah. He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? I'm not. You know, this guy is amazing. The grace of God brings humility. And humility brings grace. Let me repeat. Humility brings grace. Grace brings humility. You know what John said? I'm only a voice. I'm a voice. Crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. John is saying, I'm only a voice. I am not the Messiah. I'm not the famous guy. Look at Jesus. You know, John was the recipient of God's grace. You know why? He pointed people to Jesus. Look at John chapter 1, 36, 37. John looked at Jesus. He said, behold, everybody read, the Lamb of God. John pointed people to Jesus. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Do you see what John the Baptist was doing? God prepared the family of John the Baptist. John was the cousin of Jesus. Elizabeth was a cousin of Mary. These two families, God made sure they will meet, they will intertwine together to fulfill biblical prophecy. John the Baptist knew that he was a chosen instrument of God. But what kept him faithful? What kept him faithful to the very end? Answer, the grace of God. Do you need the grace of God? You know, I want you to see one of the last sentences of John the Baptist. Okay, John the Baptist, he talks about his role. The Bible tells us in the book of John, people were coming to Jesus. They were coming to Jesus. So many people were coming to Jesus. And the disciple of John the Baptist said, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him. The disciples of John were jealous for John. They were saying, you know, all of your disciples are going to Jesus. If you were John the Baptist, what would you say? Look at what John the Baptist said. John answered, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. John is saying, hey, my job description is from heaven. I'm just doing what God wants me to do. That's the grace of God. You are able to see who you are in God's eyes. You are able to do what God wants you to do in God's eyes. Look at, he said, you yourselves know I am not the Christ. I've been sent ahead of him. John prepared the way. My prayer is you and I will be like John the Baptist. We point people to Jesus. And you know what he said? This is what John the Baptist said. He was not jealous. John the Baptist said, he who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been fulfilled. What John is saying is this. Jesus is the bridegroom. We are the bride, the church. Jesus, the bridegroom, the church is the bride. John said, I'm just like the best man. I'm a friend. I'm happy to see the bridegroom, Jesus, and the bride getting together. John is simply saying, I am not the star. In the wedding, who is the star? The bridegroom. You and I must have this desire to be like John the Baptist. Point people to Jesus and look at what John the Baptist said. He must increase. I must, one more time, he must increase, I must decrease. Who is this he? Jesus. So my question to all of you, when God looks at your life, is Jesus increasing? Romans chapter 15. Let's close with this prayer. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that you'll abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You want to have real peace? You want to have real rest? Hope in God. Amen? God is our sure hope. Nothing else. What's the topic today? God is our sure hope. And because God is our sure hope, evidence, restedness, peace, joy. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Examine your heart. Examine your life this morning. What is the anchor of your soul? If your desire is really Jesus, I want to pray for you. Perhaps in the past, it has been money, it has been connection. Perhaps you have been discouraged, you have been praying for people. I don't want you to be discouraged. Hope, put your hope in Jesus, in God. You pray this prayer with me together. Lord Jesus, today I realize you are my real hope. You are my sure hope. So today, I surrender my desire, my future, everything that I long for, I surrender them to you. Jesus, help me to realize with you, it is more than enough. With you, I am more than satisfied. So Jesus, I surrender to you my future. I surrender to you my hope. I trust in you. My hope is in you. My future is in you. Help me to always be reminded to put my trust in you. I now receive you as my Lord and my Savior. My hope of eternal life is grounded on your promise. You promise to give me eternal life. You promise to save me. And I claim that promise today by faith. It's all because of your grace. In Jesus' name, we all pray, amen and amen. God bless you.